listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by a man who knows his stuff about the Western Hemisphere, and we consult with regularity because his insights into what is happening there and what may be about to happen there are without parallel. He is Joseph Heumeier. He is the author, among other things, of Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. And he is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, having served in combat in Iraq and Liberia. He is also the executive director of the Center for a Secure, Free Society. And we're always delighted to have him as a guest here at Secure Freedom Radio. Joseph, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
I think I want to start in what is very much a target-rich environment at the moment, Joseph, with you on your take on what happened in Argentina recently with what appears to be the liquidation of a very courageous and quite determined prosecutor, Alberto Nisman. What do we know about what happened and who might have been responsible for this murder?
Yes, Frank, unfortunately, the very tragic events in Argentina. For those that don't know, Dr. Alberto Nisman was a lead prosecutor in a very famous case on terrorism, the case against the Amia Culture Center in 1994 that was bombed in Buenos Aires by Iranian and Hezbollah operatives. So Dr. Nisman has been involved in the case for about a decade. The lead prosecutor was investigating several angles and came up with an 800-page indictment on these Iranian individuals and one Lebanese individual as well that was already dead. But, you know, to no real avail. I mean, his main hurdle was that he couldn't get these Iranians to come face justice because there was no way that they were going to stand before a court. And I think in the most recent years, Nisman shifted his focus to look a little bit less on just trying to implicate the Iranians because he already had strong enough evidence to implicate them in the Amia case and trying to find a way to actually force their hand to come before a court. And his most recent report that he released just a week before his death was actually a very interesting report.
Joseph Heumeier is our guest. He is an expert in matters of the hemisphere, author of Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America, and the executive director of the Center for a Secure, Free Society. And Joseph, I hate to interrupt you. We're just getting to the good part. But what was the idea that Alberto Nisman seems to have come up with to try to bring these Iranian perpetrators of this heinous crime in Argentina to justice?
Yeah, yes, Frank. What I was saying was essentially I think Nisman had discovered a method, a very creative method, to force Iran's hand so that they have to come before a court. And this last report, what I saw when I read it, it was very obvious, at least to me, that there was a strategic shift happening in the Amia case. He was essentially taking what historically had been a terrorism case, you know, under the Argentine anti-terrorism laws, and was turning this into a criminal case against the Argentine government, particularly the Argentine president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, and her foreign minister, Hector Timmerman, because he was going to accuse them of criminal conspiracy so that when this case can go before a court, perhaps an international court, he can, to some degree, extradite the Iranians through a form of subpoena. Because the big hurdle up until now was the way the Interpol Red Notice, the extradition order, works is that the Iranian government would have to arrest their own citizens and send them to custody so that they can extradite to Argentina to stand trial for the terrorist bombing. We all know the Iranian government, Nisman knew the Iranian government was never going to do that.
In fact, the Iranian government was implicated in this attack, wasn't it?
Absolutely. These are powerful individuals. I mean, you know, you're talking about a former defense minister, two individuals that ran for president in the last Iranian election. I mean, there's no way that this was going to happen. Nisman knew this. So he had to find a way to force their hand. If he was able to bring the Amia case, or more specifically, he was going to bring the criminal case against the Kirchners to an international court, then the extradition order would have worked more like a subpoena. It would have mandated that these Iranians appear before the court to testify on this case. Specifically, one Iranian named Mohsin Rabbani, I think that was the one that he was specifically trying to go after. And I think that's what he was coming to in his last report. Unfortunately, you know, we never got to see him present it because he died the day before.
So what do we know about the circumstances under which he died, Joseph Heumeier? We were told initially that it was a suicide. That has now been widely discredited, as I understand it. But do you have a theory as to who was the perpetrator?
My theory is pretty obviously, I think, Iran or Hezbollah with some type of local or regional affiliate or co-conspirator. The evidence completely nullified the claim that this could have been a suicide. I mean, yeah, there was no suicide note. The murder weapon wasn't even his. he had no real motives or there was no pattern of behavior that could suggest a suicide.
No gunpowder on his hand. And apparently people had entry points into the apartment that that could have been used to both infiltrate and exfiltrate it. What about the possibility that the Argentinian government itself was implicated? Have you considered that?
Sure. I mean, it's the most obvious, I think, suspect since, you know, his last report was a criminal complaint against the Argentine government, the president herself. So obviously she has a motive. Obviously she could be a suspect. But if you look at the conditions that exist in Argentina, I mean, her motives might be strong. They don't seem to be the strongest, because he doesn't seem to stand the most benefit. First, let me just say that the Argentine president, you know, I don't, you know, trust in her. I mean, I definitely don't put this beneath her, but she has faced several criminal complaints throughout her presidency, accusations of money laundering, narco trafficking, embezzlement. She actually has a case pending here in the United States for corruption, public corruption. So this is not the first time that someone has actually taken a criminal case against her. I think, in essence, actually, the political environment that was in Argentina at the time, if this was a plot by her, was very poorly executed, because this has caused a chaos throughout her entire presidency and has really rattled the cages around her closest allies.
Let's hope it'll bring her down. And, of course, let's hope it will also be an impediment to the further penetration that you've documented, Joseph Heumeier, in your book, Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. Let me turn quickly, in the remaining time we have with you, to Cuba. We're looking at the moment at the Obama administration pursuing aggressively a normalization of relations with the Cuban regime. Based on the performance of Roberta Jacobson there, the assistant secretary who led the normalization talks for the United States last week in Cuba, what do you make of the prospects for, well, first of all, full normalization, and second of all, change of the kind the president claims he's interested in Cuba going forward?
The meeting by the Assistant Secretary Jacobson is a formality more than anything else. You know, obviously, it's somewhat historic in the eyes of the State Department. But in reality, I mean, the Cuban government's been, you know, kind of controlling the situation from the get-go, starting with all the concessions that were given to them in order to reach to this point, in order to get to this agreement. And what I'm afraid of is I think the Cuban government is manipulating the situation to get the most favor out of it while the U.S. is kind of losing its leverage, or of any leverage it had perhaps over the Cuban regime, who controls a good part of the political environment in Latin America. Now, one of the things I think to look for is perhaps, you know, what's going to happen with our base and our detention facilities in Guantanamo. When I first heard the news about, you know, Obama's announcement in Cuba, you know, the first question that popped in my mind as a Latin American analyst was, why does Obama care about Cuba? I mean, he never really cared throughout his entire presidency at Latin America, never really made it a point to focus on the region, and now he's going to start with Cuba. It didn't make sense to me. But when I thought about it, one thing he did talk about throughout his entire presidency and made as a promise to his campaign was to shut down the detention facilities in Guantanamo and perhaps shut down the base as a whole. And what I came to find was the only thing that the president really needs from Cuba in order to shut down the Guantanamo base is the signature of their president. And perhaps that might be one of the things that he got through this concession.
Well, I'm reasonably sure that he will turn over that base as part of a more sweeping effort. And I would just argue that one of the other considerations for him is that this is an opportunity once again to enable and provide life support and otherwise embolden enemies of the United States. This seems to be kind of the consistent pattern of the Obama administration, I'm sorry to say. Joseph Heumeier, one other thing that I hope we'd have more time to talk about, but we'll have you on again soon to visit about, and that is the possibility that along with the transfer of Guantanamo Bay to Cuba, we might find enemies of this country taking up residence in that deep water port at the base, and that would be a strategic problem in the first order, I think. But Joseph, another time for that, and in the meantime, keep up the great work at the Center for a Secure, Free Society, and do come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll be talking with Bill Gertz. We'll get his take on the president's pacifistic State of the Union address and China, what it's up to with its cyber espionage against this country.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.